What's up, you little wombats?
You little sausages.
You little sexy wombats, you. Guys, welcome to the Lightweights Podcast. Today we have reality superstar, social media powerhouse. You know him from Too Hot to Handle, Amazing Race, Dancing with the Stars, Harry Jousy.
Woo, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.
Oh, also, I just have to let everyone know I had microneedling done, so my face is really red. I'm not, I don't usually, well, actually, I kind of do. I'm always red, but today I'm extra red.
And that just makes you rejuvenated?
Just it makes you look a little bit more sexy. It brings like, I don't know, it works. It does something.
Yeah.
So next week I should look great.
It's like I'm looking in a mirror right now, you know? Everyone's saying, I'm the podcasting Harry Jousy. I'm like, I know.
They have been saying it.
I can't escape the comments.
I've been reading the headlines.
They're everywhere. I'm my own person, though. I'm not Harry.
Come on, guys, please. Don't disrespect him.
Can you... You talked on Call Her Daddy. I'll bleep it out. You talked on Call Her Daddy, the most famous celebrity.
Yeah.
Can you say who it is?
Nah, because she'll tackle me.
Oh, would she?
Yeah, she'll be mad.
Do you know who?
Do I know who it is? Yeah. Yeah, wow. I did it. Yeah.
Is she like crazy, crazy A-list?
She's up there. She's up there, but she's not. I don't know. She's great. I don't want her to get mad at me. I've already spoken about it way too much.
Did she say anything after that episode?
She posted on her close friend. She's like, I'm only watching this for this bit. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. Ah! And she goes, why did you say it? I'm like, because it's great. And you should be proud of yourself. Like it was, you did. You put in a hero effort. Like it was incredible. She's like, okay. Haven't heard from her since.
So. What was it like having two big shows going on at the same time? Amazing Race and Dancing with the Stars.
Dude, it was really weird. I felt like... I felt bad for Amazing Race Australia because I'm like, it was airing at the same night on every Tuesday. So Tuesday in Australia it was Wednesday in Australia and then Tuesday here because they're in the future. And I felt really bad because I'm like, I really want to post for you guys and like promote the show. But I'm also like, I'm on Dancing with the Stars, so I have to like focus on this. But it was nuts. I think Amazing Race was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Like it was really difficult, but it was really rewarding. Like me and my best friend who we did it together, so close. Like we got so close. It was incredible.
What is the show exactly?
So Amazing Race, they pretty much just send you to a crazy country. We started in India and then they give you a clue and you have to figure out how to get to the next bit. And then, so you'll get an envelope and it'll say route info and that'll tell you where to go and kind of what you're looking for. Then there'll be a roadblock, which is like a red one, and you have to pick either me or you. There'll be like a riddle on the front of the card and you have to be like, you have to kind of try and figure out what it is. And then I'll be like, oh, I feel like maybe that's more for me. I'm going to do that. So then your teammate has to like sit on the side. And then I forget what the other one is, but it's, you pretty much do it both together and there's two options. So it's like, okay, we're going to try and do this one. Or if there's too many teams on that, we have to go do the other one. And it was just like so testing because you're racing in India. It was so hot. 14-hour days, and then you'd have to stop and then use your brain and be like thinking about something and trying to like beat other teams. Like it was really taxing, but it was really like rewarding. Like I felt so fulfilled after it.
And you don't have a translator there or anything, correct?
No, nothing. And that was like the craziest thing because we started in India, went to Malaysia, went to Indonesia. We went literally everywhere around there. We were meant to go to Africa, but apparently the team on the ground, they were like trying to hold them for ransom. They're like, give us $750,000 or like you guys can't race in Africa. Something like that. It was crazy. They told us like, yeah, it was like a nuts show because they don't want to tell us because we're already stressed. So they're trying to like plan it already. Like because it was hectic. It was so crazy because you literally, all you have is all your clothes, everything, all your belongings in a backpack and you just have to go. And you've got a sound guy and a camera guy and they don't talk to you. Like all they do is just film you and your interactions. So like we're running through India, we're trying to talk to people. A lot of people don't really speak English. We were winning the first leg, we were winning it by far. And then our driver of our tuk-tuk, he just kept pulling over. Like he didn't know where to go because they don't have, like he didn't have a phone. So we're starting to stress out because it's the first leg, like we got to win. And he kept like, pulled over like 20 times. And then the cameras died on the car. And I'm like, okay, we lost our camera guy. We lost our sound guy. Then I started freaking out. I'm like, oh no, like this is bad. Like we're definitely losing today. We're definitely going to go home. But then he finally asked enough people and we made it. I think we're like second team check in, but it was hectic. It was really crazy.
Is the buzz in Australia huge on that show, similar to how Dancing with the Stars is here?
I think from seeing some stats and stuff, like, it did really well. Like, I think it broke records for, like, the show itself. Like, it really did some crazy numbers. And, yeah, it was just kind of, yeah, nuts. Like, I think obviously the audience is a lot smaller in Australia because there's less people, but apparently it did really, really well.
Is that surreal that you have something huge going on here and then on the other side of the world?
Oh, dude, so weird. Like, so I did 3 shows in 4 months. So I did Amazing Race. I did Amazing Race. I came back. I had like 2 weeks to move into my new place. Then I flew off to do another show. And then the day I finished filming that show, I came here to do Dancing with the Stars. So I was like, I was just overwhelmed. I'm like, God, I want to keep the momentum going though. So like, yeah, it was strange because it all just happened so quick. And Amazing Race wasn't that long ago, but it was already like done and edited and they were like ready to go. And it was annoying because I really wanted to give it like the energy and love and like sit down and watch it. But I also couldn't because I'm stressed out about dancing. So it was like, it really sucked, but it was wild.
Are you just always in go mode? Because I feel like you're one of the hardest working people. You really are. It's inspiring. I mean, you also have the candle company. You have like all these other side ventures.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just, it's all like, how I look at this whole space is like, it's all rented. Like, well, I don't own my audience. I don't own any of this stuff. It's just like, it's all rented for now. So I really have to try and figure out how to use it so that I'm good forever. So I'm trying to like, I feel like I'm doing as much as I can to like see what hits and see what's going to make me like set and like fulfilled for life. Like after I did Dance with Stars, I felt so fulfilled. I'm like, this is really what I want to do. Like, I love entertaining. I love being vulnerable. I love learning something new. Like, this is such a fulfilling thing. But I'm also in such like an abundant place right now with so much stuff going on. I don't want it to stop. So I'm like, I have to keep going or else I don't want it to like disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that has to do with your upbringing in Australia? Because you come from such a small town that you don't want to lose the momentum?
Like, yes and no. I think you probably see it as well. Like, being in a space is so competitive. Like, everyone's always, like, if you look on Instagram, this person got a new car, this person got a new watch. And there's like a bit of like a flex culture. And I think I was like stuck in that for a little bit. Like, wanted the new watch. I wanted to get all this jewelry and all this like crazy stuff. So like, that's a very expensive lifestyle to live. So I think for a while I was like, I'm just trying to like continue to be in that lifestyle. But now it's like, I just love entertaining people. And I realized after doing Amazing Race, like how fulfilling that feeling was to just do something that isn't like sex and relationship related. It's like something different and wholesome. It was for charity. So I really, I think I definitely owe it to my parents and like my upbringing, because we grew up on a small farm. They had a small family business and I just got really lucky to be here. So I'm also like afraid to lose it. So I think maybe that's why I try and work as hard as I do, because it's, yeah, again, like it's all rented. Like, I don't know when this is going to go, and you could say one thing or you could do one thing or you could get hit by a car tomorrow and you don't know. Like, I just want to make sure everyone around me is good.
How much opportunity is it you reaching out to everybody versus people reaching out to you, come be on our show?
I think I'm very blessed with my team. Like, my team isn't traditional, like, influencer management, all that stuff. Like, how they found me was like a friend of a friend. Long story short, met this guy, Jeff, and we really clicked, and I just did Too Hot to Handle, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, like, it's going to be pretty cool. Like, I'm just not looking at contracts. I'm just signing them because I'm really, like, ambitious, and I want to try and figure it out. And he's like, whoa, 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 like, let me help you. And he's in the hotel business. So when COVID hit, the hotel business obviously took a bit of a nosedive. And then, but my business started blowing up. So he's like, okay, we're going to put this team on you and build it around you. So they run me like a business. So I'm really like blessed, because I will be like, I want to try this, or I'm ambitious towards this project. And they're way more eager and way more hungrier than I am. And they run me like a machine, which is awesome. And I love it, because I feel like a lot of other managers, like, they're afraid to say things or check you, or they're afraid to overwork you or any of that stuff. Like, not that my team overworks me, because I want it. I want it more than anyone on the planet. But I'm just, yeah, I think that I just keep putting myself in the right room, and then my team is just, they're the best people. So they just want to keep moving forward and keep growing. And then obviously my agents as well are just equally as ambitious. So it's just, it's been nuts. I just got really lucky with my people.
You're doing this podcast. You went to Chain Fest, Food Fest last night. Yeah. You hosted something on Who Wore It Best.
Yeah. That's crazy. I forgot I did that.
Yeah. Like, your schedule is just insane. Is your day to day, do you just get a sheet of what you have to do, or are you aware of what's happening?
So I have pretty much a day manager, like my right hand. Like, I couldn't survive without her. Like, her name is Farah. She's the best. She watches everything, so she's probably gonna watch this. But she's the best person on the planet. I could not function without her. Like, I'll wake up before I go to bed. There's like, I'll check my calendar. It's everything that's put in, how much time in between, everything I have to do it without the day throughout the day. She'll tell me when I should leave home to make sure I'm there on time. Like this, she told me, like, hey, it's about 9 minutes away. You gotta leave at this time. Make sure you're ready. Make sure you're good. Like, she's very structured with me. If I didn't have that, I would be a mess. Like, I'll try and put one thing in my calendar, and then she'll be like, Harry, that overlaps like this and that. I'm like, oh, well, I thought it could be okay. She's like, no, just leave it to me. Yeah.
I even saw you at Landon Barker's song release party. Like, you're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm like a rash. You can't get rid of me.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What was Australia like for you? Are there any crazy Australia stories that people might not know about you? Because you had that crazy party. You had your fight. Like,
yeah, you know that? oh, shit.
Well,
yeah.
From growing up in America, Australia was always like, the Steve Irwin, like, I always thought everything was the outback, wildlife, craziness.
Yeah.
And is that the perception that you have growing up there?
I think where I grew up was, like, so if you go to Australia, there's obviously scary stuff everywhere, but where I grew up in northern Queensland is kind of where everything, like, lives, like, on the land, in the sea, everything. But my parents actually banned Steve Irwin in our house, so we weren't allowed to watch him, which is kind of sad because obviously he's very iconic, but it was just for our own safety because we would watch him on TV and I'd run outside and go grab a snake and like bring it back in and like they're like, hey, you're gonna die, like anyone else could do it anywhere else but not here, like you can't do that, like you gotta get eaten. But there's been so many instances. Like, I remember before school, my brother got bitten by a white-tailed spider and almost like lost his arm. They had to go to hospital. My dad, one night, was walking past our pool and there was a snake in the pool and it like wrapped itself around his leg and like smoked him.
It wasn't even venomous. It just wrapped itself.
Oh, wrapped. No, he went to hospital. Yeah, he got poisoned. Like, it was crazy. Like, I've been bitten. There was one weekend I got bitten by three spiders. Like, there's these one called Huntsman's and they get like the size of your hand, like they're massive. And I was doing washing because we dry it outside, I guess.
Washing laundry?
Yeah, laundry. Yeah. I was hanging it up on the laundry line and we had like this little bench and I put my hip to it. And then I remember just seeing a spider come from underneath it and then come up my body and I froze. I told my brother, I'm like, get it off. And he started laughing. I'm like, dude, it's like right here. Like, please. I started crying. I'm like, dude, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm so scared. And then he flicked it off. But I don't know. Like, Australia, there's a lot of scary stuff, but it's also like, they're not looking for you. Like, snakes aren't gonna come and find you, but like, you'll see them. But it's just, There's so much crazy stuff. I remember when we'd walk through the bush as kids, the kid at the back would always have to turn around and check for dingoes because dingoes will sneak up and grab the last kid. I don't know why my parents let us do that, but we would just do it. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's nuts over there. And we have, where I grew up, there's saltwater crocodiles. So they're more aggressive than freshwater crocodiles, but they live in the ocean as well. And they're way bigger. And they'll like kill sharks. Like, they're the ones you gotta worry about. They're huge. Yeah. So don't go where I live.
So America's just easy for you.
Well, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, you gotta worry about like people shooting you, but that's about it.
Can we talk Dancing with the Stars?
Let's do it.
Dance tour. Are you on it?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not doing all the days. I'm doing the last like 5 weeks. So I think I start in Florida and then I end in LA. So if you want to come.
Yeah.
It'd be sick.
Are you excited?
I've never been on tour. I've never done anything like that. I think I'm more excited to meet the people that watch the show. Like, I love all the dancers and I love spending time with them. And I think that's a massive reason why I want to go, is just hang out with those guys and spend time with them, because you meet so many talented people that are passionate about what they do is incredible. But the main reason was, there's going to be all these people that watch the show that I've never met before. And I just want to meet as many people as I can, just to be like, I don't know, just break the barrier and learn more about people, and also travel to random cities that I've never been to. So,
You having an exclusive number with Riley?
I don't know. We haven't even planned it yet. I think I have rehearsals for it the middle of this month. The middle of this month. So I don't know. I think I may, because Mandy, I don't know if I'm going to say this, but Mandy Moore is doing the whole tour. Like, she's choreographing it. And I was like, yeah, I could just be a tree trunk in the back. She's like, yeah, we got a funny story there. I'm like, okay, well, like, I want to dance a little bit. Like, I want to, like, give me...
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip, or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this, as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweights podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two moves or something. She's like, no, we could do a funny little story where you're a tree, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to dance, and you're shy, and then at the end you just go crazy. I'm like, I don't want to be the tree chunk. Like, I know I can't dance.
Yeah, Billy Porter called you a tree trunk in one of his responses as a judge. Did that affect you in any way?
I thought it was funny. I legitimately was, like, when I first heard it, I was like, oh, okay, like, that's kind of funny, because that was kind of what people were commenting online. I just felt like a little bit frustrated, because I'm like, how can I build on that? Like, how can I be better? Because the crazy thing was, before we did that dance, I walk over to him. It was in an ad break, and I'm like, dude, you're doing so great tonight. I love your critiques. I love your, like, advice you're giving everyone. It's been really incredible to have you here. And he's like, thank you so much, whatever else. And then we do that, and he's like, you're a tree chunk. I'm like, what? Like, I would take that back. I take that compliment back. I'm like, how can I grow on that? But it was really good. I was fine with it. I think me and Riley have just got a playful sense of humor. So it was like, didn't really like dig at us. But then I'm like, I'm going to get a shirt because I think it's silly. And then people thought I was being disrespectful. So
yeah. You had a lot of big moments on the show. And I feel like you and Riley really drew in a whole new audience.
God.
I mean, because even me, I've never really paid attention to the show before up until this season. And then after watching you guys, I got invested in the other dancers. Wow. How do you guys feel? Well, how do you feel that you changed the trajectory of the show going forward?
Damn, that's a big question. I think it was inevitable, like whether it was us or the next season or whatever else. I think they probably got a bit of a taste of like social media when Charlie like won it, and how important that is to like getting a younger demographic. I just think me and Riley were just a match made in heaven. Like, we both love making content. She's got an incredible sense of humor. I love making jokes about myself. And it just like really, like it just came naturally to make content and like help that younger demographic. So I think it was a matter of time, but we just got lucky to be the ones that maybe like carried a little bit of the baton towards the end of it. But I also told Riley, I was like, hey, like, this is going to be a lot of work now, because now you don't have to worry about dancing. You got to worry about like TikToks, social media stuff, planning around like before a show and like trying to get votes, whatever else. But it is such a massive part of the show to have that engaged audience and to have people like seeing behind the scenes and whatever else. Because I know when I'm watching a show, I want to know all the nitty gritty. I want to know what's happening. I want to see them like being normal humans instead of like these like superstars on my TV. But I'm just so proud of it. Like, the fact that she came in first season, so courageous, like following her heart, following her passion, and then also really setting the standard for the other dancers. Like, and that's obviously my opinion, so people don't get mad at me. I really feel like she's really set an incredible standard, because now, again, the dancers, like a lot of them are very comfortable with no content, but now they have to worry about it because they could lose their job to another, you know, 18-year-old who's hungry, ambitious, and like gets social media but also gets dancing.
Yeah. Right, entirely.
Yeah.
Because the voting is based on the fan votes.
Exactly. Like, it's now so much bigger than just the show. And I think that she did such an incredible job to be able to leverage that and be like the first kind of like Trojan horse to get it moving forward.
With her kind of being thrown out into the middle of Hollywood now.
Yeah.
And your past experience on a reality show where you already were the buzz, did you have to help guide her with the social media aspect to not let comments get to you?
You know what? I think there was moments at the start where we were talking about it, because the tide really turned quickly with us. Like, there was so much love. And then the tide turned when people started getting eliminated and they were like really angry. And I think I remember when that first happened to me, and I'm so grateful looking back that I went through it, because I was able to like not care as much with comments. So I kind of told her, I'm like, this is really great that it's happening now, because we're in a safe space. You understand how this feels. You're like, it's kind of the ebb and flow of social media. A lot of love, a lot of hate, a lot of love, a lot of hate. Like, it kind of goes up and down. So I'm like, you're really doing incredible dealing with it right now. But I wish I gave her advice. I wish I gave her more advice, but she's so mature and she like just got it. Like, she just didn't care about reading comments. Like, well, she did read comments, but she didn't let it like ruin her day. And I think like it showed like who she really is. Like, it was really admirable, because I would come in and be like, oh man, I saw this TikTok and whatever else. She's like, yeah, who cares? Like, let's have fun. Like, she's just so great. And she's way more mature, like beyond her years. Like, the fact that she was able to, like, first kind of year on social media, like being with an audience and to be able to handle the hate and the heat as well as she did, but also just keep showing up with a smile on her face was really incredible.
Yeah, she crushed it.
Insane. Like, I can't fault her. I'm just like, is there something that like you want to, I don't know, is there some weird thing that you got going on that you want to tell everyone now? Because like, there's no fault with you. It's incredible. Yeah.
How much of your life was dedicated to dance?
Dude, every fucking day. Like, it was absolutely insane. I thought, I'm going to do the show, I'm going to watch a dance once, I'm going to go to sleep, download it, and be fine. I don't know why I thought that I was going to, like, do I have a Neuralink? I don't know. Like, I legitimately thought that I would be able to just like pick it up and just think about it. And like, no, you have to come in tomorrow. 4-hour session.
And they upped it, because it used to be 3-hour sessions.
Yeah. And then when we did the team dance, there was like 2 days where it was an 8-hour day. I'm like, I'm doing a full shift of just dancing. Something I'm terrible at. Like, what is going on? It was crazy. It was really like, and then you also, all you hang out with is the people from the show. So you're like living, breathing, and like it becomes like a massive bubble. So it was kind of nice to have a bit of a break and like step away from it for the, I know it would be great to be in the finale, but for the little bit that we were away from it, like seeing friends again and able to get sunlight and go on hikes and like do other things and get my face microneedled. Like it was really incredible, but it was literally everything that I did, and I wouldn't change it for the world. Like it was awesome.
Like you said, that bubble. Can you see how people form close bonds and relationships with their partner because you're just dancing with them nonstop?
Literally, like I think that you know, you spend that much time with someone, you're either gonna love or hate them. So it gets people really get close, and I'm so glad that I got really close with Riley. Like I feel like I've got her forever. Like she's never gonna go anywhere. Well, she's not allowed to. So yeah, I'm gonna keep her in my life.
Do you see all the Harry and Riley fan pages, compilations?
Everything. I do see the fan edits, and I try and like repost as many of them as I can, but it's honestly so wild to see so many people like so dedicated to like making videos of us. Like it's crazy.
What would you do with her in the future?
Well, we're doing tour together. She did invite me to Utah, so hopefully I get to go out there and like spend some more time with her family because they're great. But at the moment, there's just so many things coming up, and I know she's dedicated to the tour and getting ready for that. So who knows? I just I feel like it's one of those people that you could not talk for 6 months and it feel like no time's gone by. Like we I don't know. She's just always in a great mood and always positive and always incredible. So who knows? Like after this, I got to go to London for a week and then I come back and preparing for another thing, a massive deal that we signed, which is really exciting, which is coming out in January. So we have to prepare for that, get some stuff sorted. And then I have to rehearse with them for tour. So even though we're not going to see each other right away, we're going to still have like a couple weeks. In a couple weeks, we're still going to see each other. So I don't know. Who knows what the future holds?
You guys really left an impact on pop culture, I feel like. It's really, really cool. With reality shows, again, you left your impact on Netflix. They changed their bio to Harry Jowsey fan page.
Crazy.
Wild. How much do you think you amplify yourself to try and get a good clip so that the show is good versus the real Harry?
I think before Dancing with the Stars, I was this played up persona of myself. Like on Tour to Handle, it's a version of myself which is like a little bit more crazy because it was the first time I'd ever really had a chance to be on a big platform. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to get drowned out by all these other big personalities. I got to say crazy shit. I got to do crazy shit or else I'm going to like this opportunity is going to go and I'm going to not be able to capitalize it. So I think for a while, it was all about that personality, like sex, dating, relationships, hookup culture, going out, getting like hammered with the boys, like that type of like persona of me. And I think after doing like Amazing Race and actually like working on fun projects and especially Dancing with the Stars, it made me realize that like, hey, people actually like me for me and I don't have to be this crazy version of myself. So it made me really rethink where I want to go and who I want to be and who I want the world to kind of see. And I think after being on live TV, you can't hide behind a persona. You can't really like force anything. You just have to be yourself. And the fact that there were so many people that enjoyed me being me made me like, okay, cool. I can drop the rest of this played up sex version of Harry and move into my dad era. Like this is where I want to be in life. So it was, I think I got very, very lucky, but, then again, I still, all that stuff I did got me here. So it's been, I don't know. I gotta see what I'm going to be in the future, but yeah.
And so you're in your dad era now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Reflecting on the past.
Yeah.
What was the craziest Harry Ho era?
God, I think after Tour to Handle, like it was bizarre. Like I think it was the first time I ever had like any sort of attention. And then I had attention of girls that I've always like dreamt of, that I've always seen on Instagram. And I'm like, holy shit, like, I'm like, this is cool. Like people want to like be with me. But it turned like pretty crazy, pretty quick. And then I also felt like it was very immature of me because I wasn't really understanding like how anyone else felt. I'm just doing it, whatever I want, like hook up with this person, that person, and not really care. But I think after like this year, looking back and just reflecting, I'm like, that doesn't fulfill me. So I've really like, I don't see anyone anymore. Like I like very select people that I love and care about, but like I'm not trying to find a relationship or be with anyone unless we like really care about each other. So it's that, yeah, the whole era was crazy. I'm glad I did it. It got me on Call of Daddy. You know, that brought so many incredible opportunities. It brought so many other opportunities. But now I'm like really trying to like solidify myself and clean myself up and show people that like, hey, I'm not getting drunk and hooking up with a million people. Like it's very, very wholesome now.
Going on a podcast like Call Her Daddy.
Yeah.
Speaking of those opportunities, did anything direct come from that?
I think being on Call Her Daddy is such an, like she's so iconic and she's so, like she's just, I think she's just like a pillar of like culture and a community. And anytime I would go on that, it would, number one, there'd be a million other podcasts that are like, please have us on, like, please come on, like we really want this.
Does it just flood in?
Floods in. And also like the amount of nudes I would receive after going on her show was crazy. Like I would tell him like, Alex, I've never seen so many titties in my life. Like, what is going on? Like, they would just flood me, which was crazy. I remember I got so overwhelmed. But yeah, just being on her show and seeing how her team and everyone operates, like, just really wild and like inspiring. Like, I'm like absolutely in awe of Alex Cooper. Like, she's the fact that she's done what she's done. And I guess she also had kind of similar start. Like she talked about sex and relationships and all that stuff. And now she's like very business savvy. She's always been business savvy, but she's very focused, very clean, and like talks about like deeper stuff. And I think maybe she's probably a big reason why I'm trying to clean myself up, just looking at her and how incredible she is and just how inspiring she is to so many people. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I maybe have a little bit of a similar story, not as successful as she is, but like a similar story, and I want to kind of be like Alex Cooper.
Can you ever see yourself having a podcast or hosting a reality show?
Yes. There's a lot of stuff coming next year, which is really crazy. So we'll see. There might be some hosting opportunities coming up, and definitely podcasts coming back.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, I've got a big plan for it. So hopefully it hits.
Sick.
Yeah.
Growing up, your small town you said was 9 hours away from the biggest major city.
Yeah.
What did you really do to pass the time?
So the main thing is we just try not to get eaten by like animals.
That's so wild. That's so wild.
So we would always just be at the beach. Like we'd take the horses down the beach. We'd ride horses pretty much every day. And because it was a farm, there's always stuff to do. Like there was a mango farm, there was lychees. So we're pretty much just always busy on the farm. And like my parents, I really respect them for this. They wouldn't want us to be inside like ever. We'd have to be outside working and doing stuff. So we had a beehive, so beekeeping, building fences.
You were beekeeping?
Yeah, it was the best. I really wanted to get a beehive again, but I thought it'd be a little bit weird if I put one in my apartment.
There's just a swarm outside.
Yeah, I'm like, I really want bees because there's this really cool beehive where you turn a tap on and it pulls the honey straight out. Like it pulls the honeycombs apart. I'm like, I've never seen that before. I wanted to buy it for my dad, but then I'm like, maybe I'll just get it for myself. But then I think I'd probably get kicked out of where I live if I have a beehive.
That's so wild.
It's the best. Like, bees are awesome. They're so incredible.
Would you get stung a lot?
All the time. Yeah, it'd be crazy. But it's also, like, kind of fun because you're like, it's not fun because they die. But you see their stinger come off and it, like, the muscle, like, is wiggling it to try and get it into your skin. So it, like, goes deeper and deeper. It was really, like, incredible to see how they work. But they're epic. Shout out, bees.
Shout out, bees.
Yeah.
Can we talk about your movie coming up?
Yes. Yeah, let's do it.
So it's called Billy Knight.
Yeah.
And you've transitioned from reality star to actor now.
I guess. I'm getting there.
It's sick.
Yeah.
What happened with that? How'd you get it?
So I got signed with WME and I told them like, this is a 3-year plan. Like this is where I want to go. And
they're a big talent agency here in LA.
Yeah. And I love entertaining people. And I love testing myself. And I started taking... So what happened was I met with... I was going to IndyCar and I was with Tanner Buchanan. He's on Cobra Kai, a bunch of crazy, incredible shows. Then Rudy from Outer Banks was on there on the flight. And I was talking to them about like reality TV and just being a silly sausage, whatever else. And they're like, you should just try acting classes. And I'm like, nah, like not for me. Like, just try it. Who cares?
Did you say not for me because you didn't want to put yourself out there?
I think because I was so comfortable and complacent with where I was. Like, I'm happy to be, I was happy to be that Harry that's like
goofy, fun, reality, whatever guy.
Else, like not serious and not really respected. But after they told me like, hey, it's, you should just try it. I went and started taking acting classes. We got signed with WME, and then I would put out so many auditions, like so many. And it was really humbling because I would always watch them back and be like, I never want anyone to see this. Like, this is so like embarrassing. And then I felt a lot of growth in myself after doing that, like just being vulnerable and being embarrassed and being scared of someone seeing it. And then it finally happened. I booked an audition and I was like, whoa. I mean, I booked a role. No, I did the audition, booked a role. I was on the flight back to Australia and I answered the call from my agents and they told me, I started crying. I'm like, oh, it's not a big role, but it's a role. And I started crying. I was a mess. I was so excited. It made my year. Like, I'm like, holy crap, I get to be in a film.
How into your audition process was this? Were you sending them out for like a month, 6 months, a year?
Months, yeah. Probably maybe closer to a year. Maybe, but it was just like every week, like anything that they would send me, I would just do it because I'm like, I just need the experience. I need to figure this stuff out. And my acting coach was incredible. She was very patient with me, even though I was having a bad day. She was like my therapist at the same time. It was really awesome. But this guy, Alec Griffin Roth, I think it's, I probably said his middle name wrong, but it's Alec Roth. He wrote and directed it. And it was just such a vibrant feeling being on a set like that. So the leads, was Charlie Heaton from Stranger Things, this incredible actress called Diana Silvers, Al Pacino's in it, Rick Ross, Diplo, there's so many crazy people in it. And being on that set was just such a fulfilling feeling. Like, everyone's nice, and I've never experienced that before. When it's on a set on a dating show, you're only dealing with the contestants. They don't like you because it's a competition. And the sound guys, camera guys, no one's talking to you. No one wants to interact with you. They want you to like be locked in on the show. But when I got on that set and everyone's friendly and in funny outfits and like talking about the future and all this stuff, and Alec was incredible, like such a gentleman. I'm like, this is fulfilling. Like, I really like this. I really like being here. I really like, this is really filling my cup to be around people that inspire me and also like are working together for a collective goal instead of like I'm being selfish because I want $100,000 for this dating show. But it was really wild. And then the second day that we filmed, it was like a 14-hour day, and I remember going home just like so happy and like buzzed. And it was like such a long day. I should have been exhausted, but I was just so happy and excited because I'm like, wow, I get to be a part of something that is really cool, and it's someone's vision, their dream. They wrote it down on a piece of paper, and now I'm in this dream. It was really wild.
Is that crazy coming from where you started to where you are now?
It's bizarre. I don't think anyone would have predicted any of this stuff. Like, it's really wild. I don't know. Like, it's crazy to think of all the stuff I've done just this year alone. Like, I just, sometimes I sit back, I'm like, what? How did I get so lucky? Like, why is the universe blessing me? But then I'm like, it's going to come and it's going to go. So I have to prepare for as much as I can, because at one day it's going to disappear.
That's from your hustle, I feel like, because you're just nonstop doing, you say yes to everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. That's my problem with Netflix as well. They know they can ask me for anything, I'll say yes, which is good and bad. I'm like, I owe you guys everything. So whatever you guys want, I'll just do it. So I'll say yes. And like, yeah, we know.
What was the thing you did with Who Wore It Best?
So we interviewed Jennifer Garner, Ed Helms, everyone from Family Switch. That was the most recent one. But in general, we've interviewed, I think, like over 33 celebrities, which is just wild. Like, I can't remember how it came about, but I was in a point where I was like, I'm not going to say no to you guys. They're like, okay, we got this funny idea. I'm like, sure, I'll do it. Then I went to the fitting. I'm wearing a dress and I'm like, okay, like whatever. Like, I don't care. I'm playful. I enjoy this stuff. Like, I enjoy being a bit of a sausage. And then it just started flowing. We did so many, and I was always so nervous for those. Like, not when I get there, anything like that, but when I'm in a dress and high heels behind the curtain and I can see like Reese Witherspoon, like their shadow, that's when the nerves like kick in. I start shaking because I'm like, I'm about to meet like one of the most incredible people alive right now, and I'm wearing a dress and high heels and I look like a sausage, and I have to play off that like I'm not wearing a dress. So it's really fulfilling and really rewarding, but it's also like, I'm so excited. Like when I met Ashton Kutcher, he's like one of my biggest idols. Well, it's probably controversial, but like just his career path and everything that he did in his lifetime. And I remember I was so excited to meet him. And then I'm like, this is silly because I don't get to meet him in like a cool environment. I'm just like wearing his clothes. He probably thinks I'm a sausage. Yeah, it was wild.
After you meet all these people, what's your relationship with them going forward?
So I usually try and DM them after. I'm like, hey, thank you for being a good sport. And I usually try and like, you know, talk to them a little bit. Obviously, you know, I don't get many replies, but the Emily in Paris cast, when we did that in Paris, they pretty much all replied and like followed me, and a lot of them accepted their collab post. And it really, like that was the most fun one, I guess, because it's just, I don't know, the cast was just really fun for that. And we did it and they're all high energy and vibrant and incredible. Like some of the other casts are a little bit serious and they, you know, they don't want to be scared or they don't want any of this stuff. But I try and at least like build some sort of a relationship because the barrier is broken. So I'm like, you know, a lot of the people are just incredible and I want to learn more about them, but it's also like they're probably like, why does this guy in a dress want to talk to me?
I feel like you know everybody at a Hollywood party.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of weird. Yeah.
And then you stick out so much because you're so tall and you're just so friendly and welcoming and warming. And I feel like that really translates when people get to know you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't know. I just love people. I love meeting people. I just have so many friends here. It's great. I love LA and I love, I don't know, just getting inspired by other people.
Is there anyone's career path who you really follow that you kind of want to take that path?
I think I want to be like, this might sound kind of crazy, but like a Ryan Reynolds. Like I was having a conversation with some of my friends and they were like, yeah, we think Ryan Reynolds would be like the right goal for you to go after. Because I would always say Kevin Hart or Will Ferrell, because just my thing is like the essence of them, like you see them on a screen, you know you're gonna laugh. That's what I want. I just want people to like, if they ever see my face on a movie or on a TikTok, they're like, I'm gonna watch this because it's gonna make me laugh. That was my biggest thing. But then when my friend said Ryan Reynolds, they literally said it yesterday. I'm like, that's exactly who I want to be. So hopefully one day I can be, obviously he's incredible businessman, incredible actor, and just hilarious. Apparently he's the funniest dude when you talk to him. So
you have that charisma.
I hope so. You do. I know he watches the show. So Ryan, please respond to my DM.
Him, Chris Pratt, they're all here.
Yeah, they're in the closet. They're coming out.
Yeah, we saw Chris Pratt there last night.
He was there?
Yeah.
God, I got there too late.
I walked in and Mark Hoppus was there from Blink-182.
What?
And he's like up there for me. And as soon as we walk in, we turn left. I go, and I'm pretty sure he heard me.
Did you say hi?
Like an hour and a half later, my wife kept like nudging me. She's like, go say hi. I'm like, no, I can't. Because I want that interaction to be like memorable.
Right.
Not just like the guy that says hi at the party, but like if I'm playing like an arcade game and he comes over and we play it together, that's the interaction I want.
Right. That's good.
So he walked past me and then I saw his wife and I'm like, Sky. She's like, hi. I'm like, I love your husband. And then she introduced me to him.
Wow.
So that was like, that was one of the moments.
Was he awesome?
Amazing.
Wow. That's the best. I love meeting good people.
I fumbled the entire conversation because really? I was so nervous.
Really?
Yeah. Caitlin carried it pretty well, which is great. I kind of leaned on her shoulder.
That's awesome. I didn't realize how many cool people were there last night.
There were an endless amount of people. It was wild. And then I saw your Snapchat after. I was like, fuck, Harry was there too.
Yeah, we got there so late, which was like kind of annoying because we were with a few friends to go get some food beforehand. And then they were just drinking a little bit longer and I'm like, well, we're gonna miss it. And like I was getting angry. I'm like, we really tried hard to get extra tickets, but then we finally made it and the food was good. Like, yeah, we got there and I just started eating everything. I'm like, I gotta have it all.
Yeah,
it was epic. Yeah.
In the influencer space, what's one of the coolest opportunities that have come your way?
Oh god.
Any crazy giftings? Anyone fly you out for a sponsorship somewhere?
I think the Indy 500 has always been incredible because the one time they flew me out with Rudy and Tana was on a private jet. And I thought that was really incredible. I think also the most recent one, talking about private jets, like Alex Cooper flew me to back from Chicago in a private jet after her show. Like, that's, it's been like really nuts. But biggest like gifting thing, I'm not too sure. I think I'm the worst influencer because I'll just buy stuff. And like my friends are like, why are you buying it? They'll just send it to you for free. You have to post. But I'm like, I don't know. Like, I just want to support. But I don't know. I think people get invited to way cooler things that I do and get flown out and like paid, like Carter gets crazy money to go places and do crazy stuff. And like, so do the rest of them. And I feel like I'm kind of maybe a little bit too risky right now for some brands. So they kind of like maybe stay away, but I'm also terrible. I'm just like, if I want it, I'll just buy it.
Yeah. What do you think your rebrand going forward would be like? What's the more serious version of Harry look like?
I just think I really did it like after Taught to Handle, because it was, that was how we were branded. There was a lot of emphasis on, you know, sex and talking about that and opening, you know, just not being afraid. And I'm not afraid to talk about that stuff. I just don't. It doesn't fulfill me. Like, it doesn't, it's not fun. It's not like, it's enjoyable. I love learning about it. I love learning about other people's experiences and what's good for them. But I'm more focused on like the comedy stuff. Like, how I'm like Theo Von, you watch his stuff. You're like, oh, it's going to be stupid. He's going to say something dumb, but it's going to be hilarious. And that's kind of the goal I want to be, is like Ryan Reynolds and all that stuff.
You had your first taste of reality on, Australian show, correct?
It was New Zealand.
New Zealand show.
Yeah, yeah.
What was that called?
Heartbreak Island.
And how do you think you performed on that?
I think I did well. I think it was, I won it, so I think I did really well. And it was the first time that I really had a chance to entertain people, because just prior to that, we lost my brother's best friend to suicide. And I'm like, what do I do? Like, I want to make people laugh. I'm at university. I hate it. I'm not having fun. And then that opportunity came within like days, and went and did it. And after watching it back and people messaging me for the first time, like, hey, I needed to hear this today, and you're so funny, and this, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm doing what I need to do. And that was the first time that I had like, I know my purpose. I'm like, I know what I need to do.
Yeah. It's that first taste of it, like, changes everything, really.
It was nuts. It was really like, I don't know, get invited places, free dinner, like, I don't know, people want to fly you somewhere and you want to go do all this stuff. It was really kind of like wild, but because it was so, like, it was in New Zealand, there's only 4 million people in New Zealand, so then if you get a good show on there, it's probably only going to get like tens of thousands of views, like nothing like crazy. So it didn't really like blow me up, but it made me like small town famous in New Zealand. And I really, like, it was kind of nuts, like people giving me free bottles. And but then it was also like a lot of people, like, guys were mad at me, like, oh, you think you're cool? I'm like, no, I don't, but like, they want me to be here, they give me a free bottle, like, I'm gonna be here. But yeah, and then it got to a point where I was like, I need to keep going with this because it's a lot of fun.
And that's your power of yes, saying yes to everything coming your way. Yeah, we could literally see your stepping stone career.
Yeah,
it's so cool to follow. You have that it factor, and that's why I was so excited to talk to you, because it, like, you have that small town beginning, and it's like you got lucky, and then you started working really hard.
Yeah.
And you just captured it, and like, you're going full force now. Like, you're in a freaking movie.
Oh, crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. Harry.
Oh, thanks, bro.
What other stuff do you have coming up?
This other deal we signed, which I wish I could tell you, but that's going to be really great. It's with an incredible network, incredible people, and it's a really big one, which is going to be awesome, so I'm excited for that. This other show that I filmed this year should be out sometime early next year, which I'm not too excited for because I was a bit of a sausage on that. But, you know, it's a part of growing. And then, yeah, next year I hope I book more movies. Like, I hope I get a chance to transition across into being a little bit more established. And then maybe Dancing with Stars will want me back as a judge, because I was arguably the worst dancer in the past decade.
So. Oh, you'd be such a good judge on there.
I would give everyone 10s.
Like, perfect 10.
Like, that was dog shit, but here's a 10. Like, I would just tear everyone apart and be like, here's 10. Don't worry about it.
You being in the biggest media force now, Netflix.
Yeah.
Traditional media is changing and evolving so much, whether it's good or bad. It's just changing. Do you think digital is becoming the bigger footprint going forward?
I think it's inevitable. Like, I think that it kind of, the trajectory of everything is kind of going that way. But I also, like, don't like discount like cable TV, because being on Dancing with the Stars is on ABC, it's on TV, it's also on Hulu and Disney Plus. And the legitimacy of being on something like that kind of like opened my eyes a little bit. Like being on Netflix and being on Too Hot to Handle was epic. It gave me everything, gave me an incredible career. But I was kind of like, you know, the TikTok famous. Whereas like being on Dancing with the Stars, kind of like people like that show, they have fans that are ride or die and they're like locked in. So it was kind of like an interesting shift a little bit as well, just kind of seeing the levels of how things move. But I think it's going to be inevitable that, you know, kind of cable TV like disappears and like dies down, because Hulu, Disney Plus, Netflix, they're all growing like so quick.
It's crazy. You've conquered so many different verticals. I think it's so cool.
It's bizarre.
And on top of that, like, you have your own side ventures too with your candle business.
Yeah.
What's this one that we have here?
It's a collab that we did, but actually not selling it anymore. So that was like one of it was a fun collab. But we sold out of a bunch of stuff. So it's been crazy.
Would you ever venture into more things than candles?
Yes. So the purpose of the ritual was more to be around your like nighttime ritual, or like manifesting ritual, because people are always like, oh, how do you manifest? What do you talk about? And I'm like, well, I think it's the goal was when you smell this, you think of your goals and like what you're trying to manifest in life. Because you can write down your 5-year plan, but if you don't have anything anchoring you to that thought and that future memory, it kind of just like evaporates. So that was the goal with that, is like, we're going to light a candle. I'm going to write down my goals. I'm writing them down and everything I'm grateful for. And when I smell this, I'm going to think about my future and think about who I want to become. So we wanted to start with that and get it to a point where we do like a nighttime ritual, a bath time ritual, a morning ritual, a house cleansing ritual. Like, there's so many ways we're going to go about it, but there's only 3 of us on the team right now. So we're just starting with candles to see if people actually care, because I care about it a lot. But if my audience doesn't, then I'll just go fuck myself. So yeah.
Do you still write down your goals?
I do. I have a massive book. Did I give you one of those?
Jason, you gave one to Jason.
Jason, yeah, because I remember I brought a few little ones to David's, and I'm like, yeah, guys, got to do this. But I have a massive one. But yeah, just literally whenever I feel a little bit sad or like worried or stressed, I just write goals down and things that get me excited for the future. And the craziest thing is there's so many that have happened this year that has been like really like nuts. And there's so many that I'm very close to doing. So I tend to not like think about it until I get to check it and like tick it off. But it's really powerful. Even like people that are worried about manifesting or don't believe in it, just write your shit down and keep it to yourself. Like, that's what I say. Don't tell anyone. Just put it somewhere where it's just for you, because no matter what person it is, they're probably a little bit jealous and they're probably a little bit like, nah, you won't be able to do it. So I don't tell anyone my stuff now. I just keep it to myself. And I'm like, it's going to happen because I can feel it.
What goals did you have written down that you did accomplish?
I wrote down, I want to be on all the major networks. And the fact that Disney, Dancing with the Stars ticked pretty much all of them off was kind of nuts. I'm like, who would have thought? And I remember I wasn't auditioning. I took the first call for Dancing with the Stars when I was filming Amazing Race in Cambodia. And I'm like, there's no way they want me. Like, I'm stressed out. Like, I'm on edge over here. And the Wi-Fi was terrible. I was like, there's no way. But then it happened and I got to tick off that massive goal. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's wild. Because I wrote it at the start of the year.
Are you the kind of person that when someone tells you you can't do it, you're going to prove them wrong?
Yeah, or just write it in my book. just write it down. But no, I really like, because everyone in this space doesn't really want you to do better than you or whatever else. I feel like there's maybe a sense of jealousy, or you're worried that maybe I'm growing, or maybe I might be bigger than your current client or something like that.
Do you think people just get jaded when they're here for a long time?
Yeah, I think it gets a little bit cloudy, and like it just people's vision, like everyone comes to LA because they have a dream and they're going to do what they can to get there. And I respect that. I think in Will Smith's book, it's just like, I think he said it's Will Smith or Kevin Hart in their book. Like, it's just business. It's never personal. And I think that's kind of the approach that I started to have after going through their book, was just have to understand that like people are doing exactly what they can for their future and their career. And it's just business. So don't take it personal. But I think people, after being here for a little while, meeting very cool celebrities and whatever else, you definitely get very jaded and like vision gets a little bit blurry on like what's real. So I'm just very grateful. I got people like Riley around me that keep me like very centered and grounded, and my family and all that stuff. So I don't know where I'd be without them.
Being at Thanksgiving with Riley's family, yeah. Did you feel that sense of like, oh, normalcy?
It was honestly, it was really incredible because they're like, I keep telling Riley, I was like, you guys really won the family lottery. Like, and there's not one bad person here. Like, you're all just like so incredible and lovely and warm and welcoming. I personally felt like I was a bit of an imposter, and I kept texting Riley. I was like, are you sure they're okay with me? Because I felt like these guys are so pure and incredible and amazing. And maybe my history and my upbringing hasn't been as pure and as wholesome as this. So I always felt like a little bit like, oh, I'm definitely like imposter syndrome. Like, I don't deserve to be here. Like, I don't want to upset anyone, but they are the most incredible, like lovely people. You couldn't pay me to say a bad word about those guys. Like, the amount of love that they have for each other is so inspiring. Like, I look at them and I think that's why I'm in my dad era. It's like, I look at what they have and I'm like, that is really like family. Like, that is really love. Like, no matter what happens, they're with each other and they're going to ride for each other and they're going to accept each other no matter what. And they're going to love each other no matter what. I remember just being at that Thanksgiving and they're all just happy and loving and just wholesome and just incredible people. Like, even the dad, Josh, he's so fucking funny. Like, he's such a funny dude. He's just a big ball of energy. Like, he's a typical dad. Like, he'll just punch your arm. Be like, hey, buddy. Like that. Like, he's
so American.
No, he's so American. No, but they're like, they're awesome. And I just like look at Riley. I'm like, there's no wonder why you're such an incredible person. Like, look at the people that raised you. Like, it's just, I think about Riley. I'm like, she's like a rainbow because no matter what side of her is that you end up on is gold. Like, she's just so golden and incredible. So, yeah.
Can you just finish my lyrics and then we'll be done?
Okay.
I saw you at the Kings game, so I'm taking this straight from there. I don't know if you were paying attention to the billboard.
Oh, no.
What is Justin Timberlake bringing back?
Sexy back.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay, good.
What can you go under of Rihanna?
Umbrella.
2 for 2.
I'm good.
You're basically an American now.
Yeah, I can sing.
Do you have your citizenship?
No, I don't. I got my license yesterday.
What? You can now drive? Wait, what'd you have before? Wait, what?
I had an Australian license.
Oh.
But we drive on the other side of the road. So I was just hoping that I'd be fine because I'm like, yeah, it's probably the same rules, just on the opposite side. But then my insurance company's like, hey, your insurance is going to be like really expensive and we can't continue to.
Isn't it crazy expensive already because you drive a Lambo?
Yeah, very expensive. But because I don't have a license, it's like double. So they were like, you got to have to figure it out or else we can't like insure your car. So I'm like, okay, I probably need a license. So I got to do it.
Hey, congrats.
And I passed. Yeah.
Where does Justin Bieber get his peaches?
California.
Mm.
I get my peaches in Georgia. California? Georgia. Georgia?
Georgia's a state.
Georgia's a state?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
The final question. What does Miley buy herself?
Tampons.
I can buy myself tampons.
Oh, flowers. Yeah. I was like, she's bold. She may put that in a song.
She could. Cool. Harry, thanks so much for coming by. This has been awesome. Guys, go check out Harry's movie coming out. Do you have a release date yet?
No, but...
Soon?
Yeah, if you want to DM Alec Roth and tell him to release it.
Release it, Alec Roth. Cool. And go follow Harry. He's going to be linked down below. And the big finale, go see him on tour. Send him love.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm dancing on Tuesday. Is this out before Tuesday?
I think so, yeah.
I'll be dancing before Tuesday. I'll be dancing on Tuesday.
Who do you think's going to win?
God, this... It sucks because they're all so incredible and they're all so lovely.
You got really close with Allison Hannigan, right?
Oh, dude, she is such a like golden retriever and a human. Like, she's so perfect. I love Allison. Like, she's just such a warm, incredible energy. And I remember How I Met Your Mother was my first ever like show that I watched from start to finish. Like, I love that show. And I'm like, damn, like, this is really cool. Like, maybe I manifested meeting you. Like, I don't know. But she's such a beautiful person and really incredible. I'm telling everyone to vote for her because selfishly, I want her to win. because I know how much it would mean to her, and especially Sasha. They're just both amazing people. But then again, everyone else is amazing. I got a feeling Sochi's probably going to win because, number one, she's extremely talented. They all are, but she's extremely talented. Her dances last week were insane. Val's very talented and very good, and those two click. She also has a crazy social media following. She's got all the young girls that, like, you know, she's a role model. Like, all these girls, like, they feel like they can do it because she's doing it, which is incredible. Ariana, I feel like she has a very good chance. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's either Sochi or Ariana. Charity's really good as well. But
you should be a judge.
But it would be the worst. I'm like, guys, you're so incredible. My only thing is Charity's really good, but she doesn't have a massive following compared to, like, Sochi or whatever else. So I'm like, maybe that could be a factor. But, and then even Jason's doing a singing performance on the finale, which I'm like, he'd probably get a bunch of votes for that himself. And he's really good. And I told him, I was like, you got to take it home for the lads. Like, you're the last one left. I'm like, who would have thought of it? Would it be between me and you as the last guys there? Like, who would have guessed? But I don't know. I really don't know. I think probably Sochi, just because she has the it factor. She's got everything. But then, selfishly, if Allison won, I would be crying. Like, I cried in the last dance. I was just a mess. I'm so proud of her. Yeah. So who do you think's going to win?
I really thought you and Riley were going to go to the end. Oh, I'm not kidding. Damn. I really thought you guys had it.
I wish, man. Yeah.
That would have been sick if you won.
Yeah, shout out to Swifties.
Yeah. Oh, do you think that they voted against you? I saw an article on that.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some element of truth to it.
That's so wild. Because
I remember seeing them comment on my post, like, vote for Sochi, Jason, anyone but me. I'm like, sure, like, whatever. But I also think that there was a bit of a deeper, like, meaning. Like, sure, maybe they skewed the votes a little bit, but we still got a crazy amount of votes. I think it was just the old traditional fans of the show were getting very angry with me still being there. Obviously, again, like, I'm not the best dancer. I'm still not. I only had 9 weeks in my entire life to dance, and that's kind of the product you saw. I think it was the older fans of the show, like the ride or die fans, getting really frustrated with us, and just being the young couple, whatever else. So I think it was, yeah, a little bit deeper. And again, we were always getting the lower scores, so I knew it was about time that it was going to happen. So it gets to a point where, like, you know, I would have rathered me than any of those other people there. Selfishly, I would have loved to be in the finale. I would have loved to have everyone in the finale if we could have all 14 couples competing for the final thing. But I remember watching the semifinal. I'm like, I definitely did not deserve to be here at all. So I'm so proud of them.
Oh, I disagree. I think you crush it.
Yeah.
Well, Harry, thanks for being here.
Bro, thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Lightweights.
Woo.
Out.
Thank you so much.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.